Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this week's message, the Archbishop combines biblical insight and practical prayer strategies to effectively deal with the causes and effects of ancestral curses, contracts, and transactions. Be empowered into a new level of intercession as the Archbishop leads you to uproot and annul every spoken or written curse against you and decree your divine outcome. Join us for this year's Global Prayer Work Summit from the 17th to the 20th of July in Maryland. Register now at ndwministries.org. Know today that this is your message of empowerment. Be strengthened as you listen.
The title of the message is Causes and Effects. Causes and Effects, or Cause and Effects. I think over the years, having preached the word for many years, I realize that one of the things that we almost deal with is the curse. And we understand that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb from the curse of the law. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But as the years go by, I have watched certain patterns and certain what I may call outcomes in the life of believers. Now, I'm not talking about unsaved people. I'm talking about saved people. I've watched a particular pattern over the years. And I realize that one of the mistakes we've made is the fact that we deal with the curse, but we never deal with the outcome. And we think that by dealing with the curse, it's over. It's not true. I was telling somebody yesterday that a curse comes through many ways. So for instance, the Bible said if you break the hedge, a snake will bite you. So you break the hedge, or you open the door, which is the curse. A snake or a serpent comes into the house. So you shut the door or you block that door. You block the curse, but the snake has already entered. And the snake that has entered that house is the outcome of the curse. The snake that has come in, or mosquitoes and flies that came in as a result of opening that door. When you block that door or you shut the door, you've dealt with the curse. You've dealt with the door, the very curse by which the snake, the flies and mosquitoes or whatever came in. After dealing with the curse, you have to deal with the outcome of the curse. Because the curse is designed to bring a particular desired outcome in the life of people. And I've watched the life of pastors, men of God, women of God, including my life, my children, and loved ones, and bishops, and prophets. And I've seen a particular pattern over the years. And I've come to a conclusion by the revelation of the Spirit that is not enough to deal with the curse. You must always attack the desired outcome of the curse. You must deal with the implication, the consequence, the outcome of the curse. Because if you don't deal with the outcome of the curse, even though you break and attack the curse, the outcome will still be there. I was telling them at Dominion the other day that it takes more than the gift of faith to raise the dead. So for instance, somebody dies, and by the gift of faith, which is one of the required giftings to raise the dead, the gift of faith. So you call the dead back by calling their spirit to return into their body. As a result of the death that took place, certain organs have been infected. So, you have to deploy the spirit, the gift of faith, then you need what we call the gifts of healing. So when the gift of faith goes into effect, brings back the spirit. You need the gifts of healing to heal whatever went wrong as a result of death that has come to the person. If you just operate by faith without the gifts of healing, the spirit will return, but the body will still be sick. It will take you time to get it, so don't worry about it. But just work with me and trust me, because I've seen a lot of things. I watched a family over the years, and all the daughters married. They married very well. They married good people. But for whatever reason, the marriage didn't work. They married men they shouldn't have married. And some of them, when I saw it, I knew that this wasn't going to work. But the thing about this thing called emotion, passion, and love, when people get into that thing, you have to be very, very careful. I remember years ago, one of my spiritual sons was going to marry a girl in the church. She was also one of my spiritual daughters. And when he told me, I said, don't marry her. And he said, why? I said, there's a problem with this one. Don't go there. He went and told the girl that your father said I shouldn't marry you. So she came to attack me. And I said, I'm sorry, but I had to tell him that this guy, he doesn't have what it takes to marry you. That was the best way I could put it. I said, he can't marry you. He hasn't developed the capacity to marry you. So there'll be problems. Anyway, cut a long story. They married. Years after, it didn't work. So she went and remarried. He also went and remarried. The whole thing fell apart and it never worked anyway. But I knew it. Not by prophecy. I weighed the guy and I weighed the lady. I looked at his background and her background. And when I saw what exists in the background of both of them and their levels of spirituality, I just knew that it wasn't going to work. You see, marriage is not just I feel good about her, he feels good about me. No, no, no. This thing called marriage is a very deep thing. It's spirit, soul, and body. It comes with a lot of things. It's not just falling in love. It's deeper than that. You got to understand technicalities and legalities. I'm telling you. Okay? So I'm going to say some things today. Anyway, these particular ladies, there were four of them from a particular family, and they were all born again. All of them married, had children, and they all went back home, sitting in the house. And their husbands went on, some married, some, I don't know what happened to them. And they were all believers. Now, that wasn't the curse, even though it's a cause of a curse. But, for instance, an old man, true story, went to fishing many years ago. And he needed power to become the best in the fishing business in a particular area in Ghana. And when he consulted the shrines, in exchange for what he needed and wanted, they said that no woman in your family will marry, period. But you'll be very successful. You have money, etc., etc., etc. And he agreed. So they did the thing for him. And the token that sealed that covenant was that no woman in his background, his ancestors will marry, period. And he took a revelation. He was dead and gone years after when my father died. He took the Holy Spirit revealing to go investigate before we realize that somebody in the family did something. And I'll show you how these things work. Because I've realized that unless we begin to deal with outcomes. And for instance, I had a strange revelation early morning, about 2-3. I had a very strange revelation. In the revelation, I saw some soldiers. And there was a particular soldier who had seen something. And his superior said to him, you can't talk about it. You can't reveal it. And he was adamant and said, no, I'm going to tell. I'll report it. And he said, don't touch it. Don't go there. And the young soldier was battling with the superior soldier. The next thing I saw was the young soldier was brought, went into a room, and he was shot in the stomach. And he was lying there bleeding, holding his stomach. And they didn't see me, because I went in not with flesh and blood. I went in by my spirit. So I could see them, but they couldn't see me. And I was just thinking to myself, Lord, what is it? He said, it is an outcome of a curse. An outcome of a curse. That something was done with the bloodline of that individual that he should end up that way. He should go against all reasonings and insist on his rights and eventually be murdered. So I woke up and I began to deal with the spirit of murder and any form of assassination. Very, very important. Years ago, there was a guy. He wasn't a member of this church. He was a member of the Full Gospel. Dan, Abrebre said, he used to visit. And one Sunday, I saw him and I said, Dan, I haven't seen you for a while visiting. He used to go to Rich Church. And I said, you travel a lot. He said, yes. I said, anytime you are traveling, just let us know so we can cover you. And he said, okay. At that weekend, the following weekend, I went to visit my auntie, Mary Grant, who was Mary Duncan, my father's sister. And then she's married Grant, so she became Mary Grant. And while we were talking, he said, Nick, Dan just died. And I said, but I saw Dan last week. How? And apparently, he had an accident on the way to Takoradi, yeah, Bishop will remember, on the way to Takoradi. And the person that was driving with him, I won't mention that name, he's still alive, said that at a point, Dan said he saw a crocodile on the Takoradi road crossing his car. So he was trying to maneuver and dodge the crocodile. They had an accident. He died. The person next to him, nothing happened to him. Then later on, I was told of what had happened. He went to the village, and I established this by scripture. So just work with me. I will establish my point with evidence to win my case before this court of public opinion. So he went to the village to build a house for the mother. And the house they live in and he grew in was a mad house. And an old man in the village called him and said, Dan, this kind of mad houses in the village, you don't touch it all. You don't break it down. If you want to build a house for your mother, buy a land and build something new. But don't break this one down to rebuild something new. They don't do that in the village here. He was a young believer and Christian. He quoted scriptures and everything. He didn't listen to the old man. He broke down the madhouse and he built a place for the mother. And when he finished building the house, roofed the building and everything, it was that very month he had an accident and died. And I said, but I wish he would have mentioned it to me. And I would have told him, listen to the old man. Don't break that matter. Leave it alone. Get a clean land and build for your mother. There are things we call rules of engagement. And if you don't understand, like, take Jacob. Jacob was in love with Rachel. And the rule was he had to work 7 years to have her. He had worked for 7 years. When it was time for him to marry Rachel, the father-in-law switched and gave him Leah. And I don't want to go into the circumstances under which that happened. But there were a few things. He married in the night or in the dark. And there was a veil over Rachel. He didn't know what he was marrying. And all night long, he was with Leah and didn't know it was Leah and not Rachel. So there was a possibility that he was drunk. And who gave him alcohol is another matter. We'll deal with this some other time. But in the morning, the Bible said, when the sun appeared, which means light, illumination came, he saw that what he prayed for and wanted wasn't what was given to him. So he was angry. He went to the father-in-law and said, old man, what have you done to me? And the old man said, son, if you want to marry here, you must check and do some kind of a background check and do diligent. In this place or village or city or country, we don't allow the youngest to marry when the elder is not married, it goes against the rule. So if you want the youngest that you work 7 years for, you must work another 7 years again for the same woman. He wanted one. He ended up with four. I won't tell you the details. Check yourself. Four. Even though he wanted one. In life, things happen. I'm telling you. Things happen. So be very careful of how you come to conclusions on matters and quote scripture. Be very, very careful. Tell somebody, tread softly. Tread softly. Do this. Somebody do this. Say, tread softly. Tell somebody, I know you know the scriptures, but tread softly. Come with me now. Let's begin our journey. Let's begin our journey. Come to Jeremiah 22. Jeremiah 22, 29 to 30.
Earth, hear the word of the Lord.
So earth has ears to hear. And three has ears. Earth hears, three hears. The Bible said, and the fig tree responded or answered Jesus. Anything that hears have ears. And the earth has ears. The earth also has mouth. In the days of Moses said, if I be a son of God, let the earth open up his mouth and swallow you out. And it happened. But those are things we don't want to go into. I want to make it simple for you. So don't try. Some of you like going deep. Please don't go deep. Just stay where you are. Amen. Go ahead.
Hear the word of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless.
You see, so curses operate through certain vehicles. Number one, there are what you call spoken curses, written curses, inward curses. So curses can be written. I remember before I got born again, we'll go places and we will ask for certain things. And it will be written. And then we'll go and dig the ground and bury it for it to happen. Today, as you hear the sound of my voice, any curse that has been written about you or your loved ones and family, home and abroad, and buried anywhere, in the name of Jesus, we uproot and annul. And we intercept the effect, the outcome, the consequence of that particular case. You see, a lot of things happen in life. And I'm telling you, as a spiritual man, I watch a lot of people in church, in this house, in our branches, even my pastors, bishop. I watch things and I can tell that this thing that we are seeing is an outcome of a case. But it's not everything you can talk about. Sometimes Bishop Nyaku and I, we talk and I'll mention some things and I leave it there. You just look at a particular pattern. You look at the situation and you can tell that this end is an outcome of a curse. And I'll prove it to you. Go ahead. Write this man.
Write ye this man childless. Mm-hmm. A man that shall not prosper.
So there is a reason, like in the Bible, every barren woman had a child. There was only one woman in the Bible who died with her barrenness and never had a child, Micaiah, Saul's daughter. And there was a reason why she died barren. God cursed her because she mocked David when David was dancing before the Lord. She mocked David. Be careful of mockery. Be very careful of mockery. Especially when somebody is doing things for God and you think they are wrong for whatever reason. Be careful. Childless. Go ahead.
A man that shall not prosper in his days.
You see, so what is so? A man that shall not prosper in his days. Look at how it goes.
For no man of his seed shall prosper.
And not just him, but all his descendants will not prosper.
Sitting upon the throne of David and ruling anymore.
Hey, Kadusa Maha. There's a reason why some people struggle in life. Brilliant. Being to the best of school. Very skillful. Have capacity, but nothing they touch prospers or succeeds. It's an outcome of something that was said and was done in the bloodline. So you can block the cause, the source, the curse. If you don't tackle the outcome, even though the curse is dealt with, the cycle will continue over and over and over again until somebody rises up by light to say, no more. This is how far you go. This outcome stops here and proceeds no further. In the name of Jesus, be annulled. Godalu gadila wasala. Ikatan kusun falanda kawasalin. Imaluka wahasala. Lahitu kasin. De kutun kisala badu. Put your hands together and give him praise. Now, come with me. Look at Colossians 2:4.
Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross.
Somebody lift up your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, I blot out handwritings of ordinances and say, I annul the outcome of handwritings of ordinances, the effects of handwritings of ordinances, in the name of Jesus, over the works of my hands, over my expectations, my health, my finances, my loved ones, my family, home and abroad. Say, I annul the consequence. I annul the effect of handwritings of ordinances. Put your hands together for 1 minute. Pray that prayer. Just for a minute. I annul. The consequence, the outcome, the implications of handwritings of ordinances. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to connect a scripture to Jeremiah 22. Come with me to Jeremiah 35. Jeremiah 35, I want to connect it. Jeremiah 35:5-10. Jeremiah 35:5-10.
I set cups and jugs of wine before them and invited them to have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
But they refused. No, they said,
mm-hmm.
We don't drink wine.
Yes, sir.
Because
our ancestor. This has nothing to do with them. This was determined before they were born. It was a deal that was cut and established over their head. Like if you look at Samuel, the destiny of Samuel and whatever Samuel became was a decision between the mother and God. Even the father Elkanah had nothing to do with it. When Elkanah went to bed with the wife, he was making love. The wife was making a prophet. And whatever deal was established between the mother and God determined the outcome of the young man. He lived all his life and became everything that his mother said to God. His whole life was determined by the contract between the mother and God. Lift up your hand, say in the name of Jesus. Any contracts and transactions that took place before I was born to determine a wrong and a negative outcome concerning my life and that which concerns me by any ancestor, say by the blood of Jesus, today I annul, as I put my hands together, I annul it. I annul it. Be annulled. Be annulled. 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 In Jesus' name, amen. Read on, see something.
No, they said, uh-huh. We don't drink wine.
Uh-huh.
Because our ancestor, Jehonadab,
mm-hmm.
son of Rechab,
mm-hmm.
gave us this command.
Gave us a command.
Command.
Establish a law and a decree. That's what the command is, right?
You and your descendants must never drink wine.
Uh-huh.
You and your descendants must never drink
must
wine.
What? Never. Somebody used the word never. Do you see Jeremiah 22? He said, write, take note of this. Take note. Have a record of this. That this man must not prosper, and all of his descendants, not one shall prosper. Dolakita. You can go to Yale. You can go to Harvard. You can go to Princeton. You can go to Cambridge, Oxford, and the best of school in this world. I'm telling you, until you understand how to address the consequence, the effect, the outcome and the implications of such situations, you can study anywhere and still end up having nothing. Listen, I've traveled the nations and I see people, Ghanaians. They've been out there 30 years, 40 years. They don't even own a Boy Scouters. They are perching with somebody, living in somebody's, the basements. And others are paying mortgage. And it's hand to mouth. And that hand to mouth thing, is a curse. It's in the Bible. Look at Genesis 27 verse 40. Amplify. Give me message. Genesis. Look at Genesis. Hand to mouth. Message. Genesis.
You will live by your sword, hand to mouth.
You see, that word live by your sword, it also means that for you, anything that comes easy for others, you will always fight for it. Moda kasila. Imasukanda kasin wilahanti falundu kusait akayusumadia. It means that what it takes others a year, it will take you 10 years. That for you, it will always be fight. You will fight before you eat. Kodabasa. Go ahead, look at it.
You will live by your sword, hand to mouth.
Hand to mouth. You know what hand to mouth means? Financial insufficiency in want of all things. Always struggling. Never have enough. Always paying your bills. By the time you finish paying your bills, everything is gone. At the end of the year, money comes into your hand and you can't account for what you do with it. For whatever reason, you know that you've made so much, but you can't account what you do with it. It's like a waster and wasted. Something just blows it out of your hands. It's the curse of hand to mouth. Today, let it be annulled. Your weak, your response is very weak. I said today, let it be annulled. Then look at it. Look at something he said.
And you will serve your brother.
That means you will be subject to others. That means others will triumph, excel, and be better than you. You will always be second hand and not first. Say I know and deny anyone an advantage over me. In the name of Jesus. Say, let no one have advantage nor power over me or my seed henceforth. In the name of Jesus. You work hard. You are good. You are the best on the job. And yet you see others. You look at them. And you ask yourself, how come this one is above me? How come this one is my boss? There's a reason. Go ahead.
But when you can't take it anymore.
That is the word, weariness. When you can't take it anymore. When a woman is in travail, I'm told that it gets to a point in the travail when they can't take it anymore and the pain is unbearable. At that point, the head of the child has come to the mouth of the womb, the birth canal. And it is at that moment that everything directs that baby when the head is down there. Because you see, when the leg comes, it's breech. But when the head is there, it means everything follows. It is at that point when you can't take it anymore that the breakthrough comes. Can I announce to somebody today, if you are at a point in your life that you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and that you've had it, you can't take it anymore, may I announce to you that the next event of your life is a breakthrough. I said the next event of your life is breaking through and turning it around. Put your hands together. Say yes. Go ahead.
But when you can't take it anymore, you will break loose.
That is what happened. When you can't take it anymore, there is nothing else that can happen but breaking through. He said, when you get to a point where you've had it, you can't take it anymore. At that point, it's the place of breaking loose and breaking free. When you can't take it anymore, it is at that point to sadakas. You break loose and run free. I see somebody breaking loose today. I see somebody running free. Somebody say, it is enough. It is enough. It is enough. Kadus sama. It is enough. Stop here. This is how far you go. You will not proceed any further. It is enough. It is enough. Say it is enough. proceed no further. Go ahead, Bishop. We are still in
Jeremiah 35.
Yeah, 35. So, go ahead.
Our ancestor, Jehonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. You and your descendants must never drink wine.
He said, this is coming from an ancestor. Lived many generations ago before I was born. Go ahead.
And do not build houses or plant crops.
Listen to the text. Listen. You see, everybody say, all truth is parallel. So watch this. In a way, this was a good command that was issued for this particular bloodline in Israel. They were a tribe who were to benefit from all the tribes. And they were not to work or labor or do anything. But as much as on one hand, it was a good thing for their tribe, on the other hand, watch how these things work. Look at it.
Effort. You shall do not build houses or plant crops or vineyards.
You will not build houses or vineyards.
But always live in tents.
You will always live in tents. So others will build houses. And others will have vineyards. But you can't have it. And if you try, you die prematurely. And there's a reason why. It's an outcome of a curse. There's a reason why certain people die prematurely. They attempt, they try to make some changes, do some things. And if you don't investigate the bloodline very carefully and exercise divine authority to renounce and deal with some powers and override them by the power of Jesus' name, if you attempt to break those orders and rules, something may go wrong. Look at it.
If you follow these commands, you will live long. Good lives in the land. So we have obeyed him in all these things. We have never had a drink of wine to this day. Nor have our wives, our sons, or our daughters.
No wives, no sons, no daughters. We've obeyed. We've complied. There are people, you try to have a child. I know situations like that. I don't want to go into details. They do everything against all odds, and they have the child and they die. Because it was never meant to be so. So there is an objection. A spirit of death will object and say, how come you have a child? You are not supposed to have one. And unless you are operating, that's why I tell people, and I feel very sad for men and women who don't know Jesus, because even those who know Jesus, the things we deal with, and then you don't know Christ, you don't know the word, you just have money and you're educated and you are so arrogant and proudful. I feel sad for you. You don't understand the spiritual. They can make sandwich out of you easily like that. So just keep on thinking that because you have money and you're educated, you don't know anything. Spirituality is very, very, very critical. I'm telling you. Go ahead.
We haven't built houses or owned vineyards or farms or planted crops.
He said, we don't have any of these things. It means that every other tribe can have it, but not us. There are tribes in Israel who are free to have all these things because an injunction has not been placed on them by any ancestor. I know you are the redeemer of the Lord. I know you are born again. I know you are blood bought and sanctified and washed. But I'm telling you something. As your spiritual father, I have watched things. Even about big men of God. I don't want to mention names and say something. But you study the trend and you can tell that this is an outcome of a curse. Lift up your right hand. Say, any curse, written or spoken, projected or imagined to determine an evil outcome of my life and of my loved ones, domestic and external, home and abroad, within and without, say today, I annul every such outcome, effect, implication, and consequence by the blood of Jesus as I put my hands together. Pray that prayer. pray that prayer. Amen. Give me Numbers 22, 5 to 6. Numbers 22, 5 to 6.
He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I would that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed.
You see, this thing about blessing and curses, we underestimate the power of it, but it's very, very powerful. Curses and blessings, they are two things we shouldn't play with. I'm telling you. I've watched it very carefully over the years. And I'm very, very careful because, you see, a father, a mother, your teacher, your boss can pronounce a curse or a blessing. And if you don't understand how these things work, anytime someone pronounces a curse, it's programmed to determine a particular outcome in your life. And the curse can make you a victim or a casualty of some evil circumstances. I was talking to somebody the other day, and the daughter came out of a car and was going to buy a drink. And a guy was driving and saw the girl and just drove into the girl and killed her. Just drove and knocked her down and drove over the girl and drove off and killed her. Came from best of school. And when I heard it, I was quiet. And the person says, why? And I said, it is an outcome of a curse. It's an effect. It's an implication of some curse spoken or written, programmed in the womb of time for her to become a victim. But today, it is my prayer for everyone hearing me, whether you believe it or not, that your life will not be governed by the outcome of a curse spoken or written or released. In the name of Jesus. Listen, if you look at this scripture we just read, you see, unbelievers, they know more than you and I. I'm telling you. I've seen unbelievers that understand spiritual things more than believers. And the reason is that believers, we take a lot of things for granted. We just quote scripture and then it's not so. This king, Balak, saw the strength of the children of Israel and realized that these are not people you fight in the natural. Even though he was a king, he had an army, weapons. He went to a prophet, a diviner. This guy wasn't a correct one, he was a diviner. And he said to them, I have learned by experience that anybody you bless is blessed and anyone you curse is cursed. I need you to come and curse these people for me. And it means that when a curse is pronounced over you, it doesn't matter who you are. For whatever reason, the curse disadvantages you and it causes you to err and to miss it where you should have the upper hand. And he said, come and curse these people. And if you look at verse 12 of the same chapter, the Lord said, don't go with them. These people, you can't curse them. They are blessed. They are my people. So don't even try it. Tell somebody, make no mistake. Make no mistakes. It will not work. It will not work. But let me tell you why it will not work. Let me tell you why. Just reading what is written is not enough. That is the problem of believers. Just reading what is written does not work. You have to learn to apply. You have to learn to engage and deploy what is written by your mouth. Because faith is released by your mouth. And until you say it with your mouth, it's not enough to just read it. Saying it is not enough. That's what the Bible says. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. But with the mouth, confession is made to deliverance. So stop reading the word and putting the Bible under your pillow. Don't just read. Say it. Tell somebody, say it. Tell somebody, declare it. Look at Psalm 9. Look at Psalm 9, 19 and 20. Psalm 9, verse 19 and 20.
The New Living Translation says, arise, O Lord.
Arise.
Do not let mere mortals defy you.
New Living Translation. He said, arise.
Do not let mere mortals defy
God is you. Waiting to hear you. He's waiting to hear you. He will not arise until you say it. Arise. Thou judge of all the earth. Arise. Thou that answers prayer by fire. Arise. O thou man of war, Yahweh, the God of the armies of Israel, arise. And let men know that they are mortal and not God. God is waiting to hear you. He's not going to respond until you say something. Heaven responds to what comes from the earth. If nothing leaves the earth to the top, nothing comes down from heaven. If you see rain come, as it's raining, it's a result of things that have left the earth and formed the clouds, and then it turns around and pours down the rain. Things don't just happen. Go ahead.
Do not let mere mortals defy you.
Mm-hmm.
Judge the nations.
Judge the nations. And this year we declare by the scriptures, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, judge the nations. 60 nations are going for election this year. There are all kinds of games and contentions going on concerning the destiny of nations and people. O thou judge of all the earth, will thou not do right? Thou that answers by fire, O God of the armies of Israel, the man of war, strong and mighty in battle, arise, O Lord God, let not me men defile thee. O God, to whom vengeance belongs, judge all the nations. Judge them. Expose their motives. Let the spells they cast on people and the nations break in the name of Jesus. Let men have their mind intact. Dona kisa wada hasit. Ikalunda kisa. Say, I block any murder and assassination. Right now, put your hands and say, I intercept. I intercept murder and any form of assassination. I intercept it in the name of Jesus. Intercept, intercept, intercept in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead.
Make them tremble in fear, O Lord.
Make them tremble in fear. Let mortal tremble. Let men so arrogant, so prideful, for whatever reason, let them tremble in fear. O Lord, take away their defenses. Destroy their strongholds. Remove the cause and the basis of their arrogance and confidence and pride. Take it away, O Lord. Make them defenseless. Break down their stronghold. And let that they have leaned upon be taken away from them. And let them remember that they are mortal and not God. Come on, put your hands together. No salah. Ikalu salah hazan. Go ahead.
And let the nations know they are merely human.
Let them what?
Let them know that they are merely human.
Let them know. Let them know. When I hear people become so arrogant and they believe that they have so much power and so much wealth and they can get away with so many things, do what they please, control the lives of people, I feel sad for you. Make no mistake. You are mortal. You are mere man. Thou art not God. And it's just a matter of time. Make no mistake. One of these days, you will know that you are a mere man. Most salaki daguns kefalanka suwan ikandu santi kalatan kiwahase leader iku sulawa hasala. Let them know that they are mere men. Let that which they lean on, let the source of their confidence depart from them. Suddenly, let a mystery befall them. Amaya kasum kilahasan kiwan sulami idaguns. Jesus. Jesus. Let's finish our scripture. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Come with me to 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 21.
Ye mountains of Gilboa.
Ye mountains of
Gilboa.
Gilboa.
Let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is violently cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil.
Hear me. When you go to Israel, by technology and the science of our time, they've raised crops on every mountain of Israel, except this particular mountain. It's barren. And it's a result of what David said. It's the outcome of the curse. It's the effect of the curse David pronounced on that mountain. And if you look at it carefully, he said, it will rain on all the mountains of Israel, but rain and dew will not touch you. You'll be denied of rain and dew. Every other mountain will have it, but you won't have it. It's an outcome. And unless someone deals with the cause and annul the outcome, which is the implication of what was said, there will still not be no rain nor dew on that mountain. Is it possible? You see, if you look at Numbers 22, and I said unbelievers know this, people can go to very powerful people to curse you. I'm telling you, they can write curses against you. They can go to people and say, I want you to curse this person, curse that person. And people do things. And in the name of Jesus, curses operate through ill will. Somebody doesn't want it to be well with you. And out of that ill will, anger, provocation, they speak against you. But anyone that has spoken ill of you and have said anything where you are concerned and your family and loved ones, that is causing a particular evil outcome. Let those outcomes be annulled in Jesus' name. Annul. Put your hands together and say, annul it. I annul it. I annul that outcome. Let it be annulled. Molaki salubalas. Molaki salubalas. Eki tu kadila masa. Kidunda ki salahasa. Amen. Amen. Jesus. I watch things a lot. Even in this church, I watch a lot. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he's doing very well. And he said, Papa, one thing I deserve, you pray for me to have a visa. And I said, a visa for what? He said, I want to leave this country. And told me where they want to go. And I said, do you know the lifestyle there? Number one, the cold will kill you. I said, when I went to London the first time in the 80s, I took a train from Heathrow to Paddington train station. And it was so cold, the wind was so strong that the wind was literally, if I may use this expression, it was literally chewing my ear, and I started crying. Yeah, I was crying. Hey! I said to my sister, this is demonic. And she said, welcome, welcome here. And I said, welcome to what? This? Is this what you are living, calling a brutality? When I entered the room at Paddington, I refused to come out. I won't come out. I won't go to jail. I said, I'm not going anywhere. This wind, I'm not playing with it. It was too, ooh, ooh, and it was chewing my ear. I said, I was crying. Somebody say, mercy. And he wants to go to Abruchire. And there's a reason why all of our young men and women want to go to Abruchire. Apart from what they see on the internet, the deception of social media, internet, the chains, the dressing, all those beautiful cars and things, and they think that it's just lying on the street and you just go there, no, then it happens. You have no idea what you are talking about. There are people stuck. They can't even get money to buy tickets to come back home. Some of them, even what to eat is a problem. They have nothing there and they have nothing here. And the reason for that is a curse. It's an outcome of a curse. Dona sadum kasin kalams. Ikala sun kisalim vilu wahasalim. Let the spell break. Let the veil be lifted. In the name of Jesus. Say yes. Until it breaks. It doesn't matter the marimatis and where they went to school. They can talk all the language, but putting it to practice, it won't work. It can't happen. Because the outcome has already programmed them. They're already programmed to fail. Hey. 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 I said, hey, 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 hey. Come with me. to Joshua chapter 6, verse 26.
And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord.
Watch this, oh. Watch this. He made a pronouncement to determine a particular outcome or a desired outcome. And watch it. Look at it.
Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up to build the city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn. And in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it.
Now, come to 1 Kings 16 and 34. 1,000 years after what Joshua said, a very wealthy man from Jericho, he was loaded. You see, that's why I said, for those of you who depend on money and power and the arm of flesh, you are to be pitied. Because this guy was loaded, and he cared for Jericho. And he said, no, I can't be loaded this way and sit here and let my city lay in ruins. I must do something. The fact that you have the means to do something, it doesn't matter that you, it doesn't mean that you have been empowered to do it. I'm telling you. There are some things, even if you have the means, unless you are empowered to do it, you try it, you'll be in trouble. Talking to a businessman in this church, he was doing some business out of Accra. And it had to do with gold or oil, and they send machines. Any machine that goes there will be spoiled. Brand new. Anytime the machine, something happens, and I say, hey, let me tell you something. Unless we go to that ground and deal with anti-progress forces, and deal with whatever is preventing progress, prosperity in that land, you can send whatever, what do you call it, intercontinental ballistic missile, whatever, it won't work. Let this man not prosper, nor his descendants. So if that man's descendants are connected to that ground, no matter what they do, it won't work. And that's why Africa is suffering. Because we are not just dealing with the curse. Some of you believers, you've broken the curse. You are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But you haven't dealt with the implications of it. If you remember, Haman set a curse, a law, a decree in place. He died. The man who was the cause of the problem died. But the implication and the consequence of the law was still in effect. After he had died, Esther went to King Ahasuerus and said, the man that did it is dead. But the effect is still there. And the king said, I can't do anything. Write a new law to replace that one. Sign it and come and put my seal on it. So people have done things. They are dead and they are gone. And the effect is still going on. But today, whoever you are, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus, let consequences and implications and causes of effects, spoken or written, in any shape or form, inward, imagined, projected, programmed in the womb of time, let them all be annulled. Put transgressions, annulled, annulled, annulled. By the blood of Jesus, annulled. Put aside your education. Put aside all your argument and logic. Put them aside. When it comes to spiritual things, it's not about logic or education. Put it aside. In the name of Jesus, annulled. Amen. Now look at it. Look at it. 1 Kings 16.
It was during his reign that Hiel, the man from Bethel, rebuilt.
Doing his what?
His reign.
His reign. He was a ruler. He was loaded. He had deep pockets. But he wasn't a spiritual person. Go ahead.
He rebuilt Jericho.
He rebuilt Jericho.
When he laid his foundations, it cost him the life of his oldest son, Abiram. And when he completed it and set up its gates, it cost him the life of his youngest son, Segub. This all happened according to the message from the Lord concerning Jericho, spoken by Joshua, son of Nun.
You see, what he said programmed a particular outcome. That anyone who comes here, whether you are a ruler, great or small, rich or poor, that goes against this pronouncement to rebuild this city, let it cost him his firstborn son by the foundation, and when he's laying up the gates thereof, let him cost him his secondborn son. And the Bible said it happened according to what Joshua said. The city, the waters were bitter. The women were barren, all because of the pronouncement Joshua made. And when Elisha came, he didn't deal with the curse. He dealt with the consequence. There are patterns that must break. There are certain outcomes and implications going on. And hear me, listen. I've heard all the teachers of faith. Don't underestimate your father. I've learned a lot. I'm telling you. I understand the Pauline revelation. I understand new creation reality. E.W. Kenyon. Daddy Hagin. Listen, I've studied the materials. I've studied them. I've taken time to study them. I know protext and pretext and context of text. But I've come to some realities that some of the things that are not making sense. There are so many things that don't make sense. A lot of them are consequences. They are outcomes of certain curses and pronouncements. I'm telling you. And it's not just in the life of believers. I'm talking about even in the life of men of God, women of God. I've seen too much. So when I hear people making all these their arguments just because you can talk English and you can read and write, I pity you. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. You think you have arrived. Wait till something hits you. When you can't make sense of it, you preach what I preach. I understand that I don't understand what I think I understand. Amen. Are you saying something? Amen. 2 Kings 2:19.
Then the men of the city said to Elisha, "Please notice, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren."
You see? He said, "It looks great. It looks good. It looks beautiful. But behind the scenes, something is wrong with the water. And the women are barren." And it had to do with what Elisha said. It has created a particular outcome for the women of the city, for the waters of the city.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26767 6055, +233 26767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.